focuses on missions. And so let's welcome him and give him all the time that he needs. Amen. Praise God.
Praise God. It's good to be back with you again since the first week here. Is Irene here? Irene, where are you? Happy birthday, Irene. Happy 27th birthday with an extra 45 years of life experience. Yeah, I need 10 more years to reach your place, so stay young. I've been invited to speak at a Singapore church at 10 a.m. Singapore time, which is 12. So at the end of the service, I'm going to rush off home. And thank God with technology, I never thought one day I'll be preaching in two countries on a given day. So I'll be back home on Zoom with the church doing an outreach service through Zoom from Singapore. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you that we are here, not by chance or coincidence, but it's by divine appointment. And Lord, we pray that this morning that you remove every distraction, Lord, every thought that does not align with God. And Lord, everything that will hinder, Lord, we bring it down, we put it down, and bring it under the subjection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray right now that your Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will speak to us, just like the book of Revelation to the churches. He that has ear, let him hear what the Spirit will have to say. And so, God, I pray that our ears will be open, our hearts will be receptive to hear a spoken word, a word in season, a rhema that will not give us only knowledge, but transformation, that will change our life, that we will continue to align and to recalibrate our life with you according to your will. For your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, in our lives, in our family, in our church, in our community, our nation, as it is in heaven. So we give you all the glory and all the praises in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. And all of God's people say, amen. Please encourage your friend. Turn to your neighbor on the left and say, you are the best looking person I've seen today. Come on. Now turn to the neighbor on the right. Don't forget the neighbor on the right and say, oh, you are better than the best looking person I've seen today. Praise God. Amen. Now I know you're going to do an end time series next week, if I'm not wrong. And last Mission Sunday, also June 2021, I talk about seeing through the eyes, or living your life through the eyes of eternity. And today I felt that I want to tie in the context of where we are living in today. We are the church of the last days. I don't need to convince you by just looking at the news, reading the news and seeing what's happening around us. We know we are truly living in the end of the end times. And now that I'm fully with Regen Ministry, itinerant and mission ministry, church planting ministry, Click Church was really out of Regen Ministry, being planted in 2006. But in 2004, we registered Regen Ministry in Melbourne, Australia. And the more I move around and speak in different churches, and next week I'll be speaking at a church in Malaysia through Zoom, and I've been speaking to churches in Singapore through Zoom lately as well. But the more I move around different churches, I just sense that incredible urge and burden as a watchman, you know, to call out. Now that I'm no more a senior pastor, I can be a bit bold and say what I need to say. Pastor Kenny is preaching at a Chinese service. He sent his greetings to all of you. He won't be here today. So I just sense that as a church of the last days, a lot of people are talking about how does it look like, especially after the... Can you imagine? Melbourne was a city with the longest lockdown, and we still won the most livable city, at least the 10th position this time, you know. But look, with all these lockdowns and what is happening around us, there's always the talk and longing about going back to the good old days. But we are not going back to the good old days. Just as September 11 changes everything, the way we travel, the way we do life, and it's no more the good old days. But what is the new normal? And everybody was told you got to brace for the new normal. What's the new normal for the church? I believe the new normal for the church, a lot of people say, oh no, I wish I can go back to the good old days of meeting in church and so forth. But I believe it's more than that. It's a calling back. The new normal is calling back to the original church, the original fundamental church. I remember I was sparring and gleaning from a guy that is high in a corporate ladder in a multinational company. And I said, in times like this, what's the message you're getting? You are there in the marketplace, you know, and things are moving so fast and changing. And he says, in times like this, you get back to the fundamental. You get back to the basic. You know, the non-essential have to go. You get back to the essential. And we understood this because we've been told what is essential, what is non-essential. For me, essential is Springville fir and banmin. And they told me, sorry, it's out of the 5 kilometers. That's non-essential. I mean, your Malay food, nasi padang, that's essential, you know, right, Joe? But you see, what is essential? What is important? What is key? What is core? I believe God is calling the church back to the original. For too long, we have a lot of add-on, a lot of, you know, the fats that we have to cut off. You know, God's word, I believe, as we get back to the original church, the body of Christ, it's really the unchanging truth in changing time. The world may change, but the church will never change. It's still the body of Christ. Its calling and its function is still the same. Now, today, because of time, now I need to finish at 11:40 latest, and Zorb will close the meeting for me. I hope my car don't break down midway to do the Zoom service. Normally, I'm a three-point sermon preacher, but today I'm going to cut down to two, all right? Well, three, add in the faith pledge, all right? So I want to share with you quickly two core fundamental truths of the body of Christ that we need to return to as an end-time church before Christ's second coming. So the first one, I believe, is pursuing, a call to return to pursuing Christ-likeness, living the life of Christ. Now, I preach on this many times. Those that have been here long enough, you know, I'm good at over-communicating, like a mother, you know, you don't nag, you just keep reminding. And I always tell young people when they complain that their mother is nagging, I say, no, they're not nagging, they're reminding you. That's their job, you know. You got to help them fulfill their purpose in life. So when they nag at you, say, amen, mommy, yes, mommy, preach it, mommy. One day a mother came up to me and said, something wrong with my son. When I nag at him, he don't shout back, you know, he don't get angry. He say, amen, hallelujah. Can you please come and pray for my son? But you see, we got to get back to Christ-likeness. That's the angle of discipleship. I know there's a lot of talk right now about disciple-making church, you know, and there's a church right now, you know, if you have been hearing around. Now they say, oh, it's not discipleship, it's sonship, you know, it's sonship. But yet, oh, it's no more disciples, now it's called Christian. But yet Christian word is mentioned once in the epistle after the book of Acts. But the key thing, at the end of the day, I'm a practitioner. I'm not a theologian. At the end of the day, to me, the bottom line is, are you Christ-like? That is so crucial. Because you got to understand, right from the beginning of time, for those he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn, the model to show us among many brothers.
See, when God created you, He created you in His image, in His likeness. And that divine purpose of God and destiny hasn't changed. Instead, when we fell into sin, He reconciled us, He redeemed us, He restored us to a better position. Now in the image of His Son. You're no more just a creation of God. You're born again right now into the kingdom of God. And God is your Father. And now He wants you to be the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, the firstborn among many brothers. He become the model that your attitude be like Christ, that you live like Christ, that you serve like Christ, you love like Christ, you're anointed like Christ, you minister like Christ. You know, many years ago, we have this WWJD, what would Jesus do in a given circumstances, or WWJND, what would Jesus not do? But see, God is calling us back. It does not matter. Now, I'm going to offend some people here. It does not matter that you know the Bible from cover to cover and all that is in between them, whether how many cycle or BSF you have gone to, Bible study fellowship. Look, these are important. Don't get me wrong. The key test is, are you like Christ? Are you ministering and loving like Christ? For too long, we have so many add-ons. You know, right from the beginning, Paul told the Galatian church, he says, look, my little children, whom I'm again in anguish or labor, pain of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. Now, I have no experience in giving birth to a child. But I tell you what, talk to any mother, yeah, it was a pain to get you out. It was laboring, travailing. And Paul says, I'm doing all that in pain. Why? So that Christ is forming you. Because He's the firstborn of many brothers. He's the model for us. He's the end goal of discipleship. You can have all the discipleship process you want. You have the 101, 201, 301, whatever it is. Even you have gone through Bible school. I've gone through 5.5 years of Bible school. So whatever it is, are you like Christ? Are you like Christ? He told the Colossian church, Him we proclaim, warning everyone. We will warn you with teaching everyone with all wisdom. Why? That we may present everyone matured in Christ. What is maturity in Christ? Christ-likeness. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy and His powerfully work within, that He powerfully work within me through the Holy Spirit. And we need that. In fact, in Corinthians, He told them, come on, be imitators of me. Look at me, just as I am, or just as I also am of Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's discipleship, isn't it? A disciple is one that lives like Christ, Christ-likeness. And a disciple maker is one that helps others to be disciples that become like Christ as well. And it says in 1 John 2:6 that whoever says that he abides or remain in Him, in Jesus, ought to walk the same way in which He walked. You know, I like the Living Bible translation in for 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, but we Christians have no veil over our faces. We can be mirror that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, the Spirit of the Lord work within us. So that we become more and more like Him. I have a friend, Bible school classmate, Chris Benaya. He's an Anglican priest in an Anglican church, a thriving, growing Anglican church in Christchurch, New Zealand. So after we graduate from Bible school, we kind of all go different ways. And he left for New Zealand, and he's reaching out and getting so many people saved. And this is one of his thoughts that he posted in 2015. And I posted on my Facebook page as well. It says, I wonder if the church is spending more time getting people to live for Christ, which is service, rather than helping people spend time with Christ, which is devotion, so that they become more like Christ, which is character. And if service flows out of devotion and character, would the world see the church differently? Now, this is very thought-provoking. The world need to see more of Christ in our lives. We got to live a life that gives unhindered expression to the world, the life of Christ, the anointing of Christ, the love of Christ. And I believe the end times church, there's a calling back, a real calling back to Christ's likeness, to Christ's likeness. And this is a constant challenge. Even as a minister for many years, many times I will look at my life and see how I respond to things and to identify the triggers in my life, because triggers has to do not with the present circumstances, but has to do with the past, that we have to deal with the past, because they will keep coming back and cause triggers in our life for us to react in a certain way, that a pattern is being formed. And we got to constantly allow the Holy Spirit to do that sanctification work in our life again and again. And it's hard work. It's really hard work, because, you know, that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to be with you. And I preach on Pentecost Sunday that He will not leave you nor abandon you. He'll be with you always. Why? Because He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to convict you. He's going to teach you. He's going to sanctify you. And we are not only be baptized with the Holy Spirit, but with fire of God. That's sanctification. We need the fire to sanctify us, to burn off every non-essential in our lives. For too long, we have so many add-on. We have no time for the main thing. So in the end, we major on the minor. We quarrel over the minor instead of majoring on the major. And God is calling us back in this time, getting back to the core, getting back to the essential, majoring on the major. You know, it does not matter how powerful a teacher you sit under, how great a church is. At the end of the day, are we becoming like Christ? And I want to challenge you. In every seasons of your life, God will bring you to places to learn things you have never learned, never will learn in the last season. But in that new season, God is going to use, in fact, every challenges, every problem and predicament you're in, every trials you're in, there's only one ultimate purpose. God wants to turn it around, to work it out for good for you, because that's your destiny, to be like Christ, to be like His Son, the firstborn among many brothers. And God will use everything, everything you need, everything that happens to you. God will never waste a hurt. He will turn everything so that Christ be formed in you. Praise God. Amen. Now, very quickly, the second call back to return. We need a call to return back to the original church is to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. That's why this is called Mission Sunday. It's time to love and to reach out to the long lost sons and daughter of God, to bring them home. To bring them home. You know, we are going to the end times series, and it's important to know, you know, the end times, what's happening. Of late, there's a lot of speculation about the mark of the beast, whether is it the vaccine, or talk about, you know, the one world government and globalism and so forth. Look, and I know people spend all their life speculating who is the Antichrist and so forth. But at the end of the day, every delay is for one thing. Because the Lord does not delay, as though He were unable to act, and He's not slow about His promises, as some count slowness, but is extraordinary, patient towards you, not wishing any to perish, but all to come into repentance. That means every delay of the second coming of Christ, it's for a reason, so that we can bring in the end time harvest. For that reason. And you know, people go from one extreme to the other extreme. Their whole life was just consumed about the second coming, about all the details to it, and trying to predict even the date. I remember I was invited to speak at a church in South Korea. I was there for 1.5 months. I was in Busan. I know some of you like Busan or Seoul, the train to Busan or something like that. I was there, nice beach there, and I was there to do a, it's amazing. It was 1.5 months. I was there to do a children camp, a youth camp, a young adult camp, and a senior camp. Oh boy. Took me 1.5 months there. And I began to love kimchi after that. No choice. That's the only thing I could eat. Anyway, I had a privilege. The pastor was so kind. He said, hey, look, I paid for you. You just go to Seoul and for 3 days and chill out, you know. So I took the train with another minister there and went to the prayer mountain to fast 3 days. And I was invited, very graciously invited to a church that earlier days was planted by David Choyongi. And it was a midweek service. And during the time, I just realized when I was there, there was a talk about Jesus is coming back in October. And I saw on television people selling their house, packing their bags, and they're waiting at a place for Jesus to come back. You know, and mother were crying because their daughters quit school, some quit jobs, some sold everything just to be meeting at one place to wait for Jesus to come. And I was preaching there and said, look, it's not about when Jesus comes. It's, are you ready? Have you finished your kingdom assignment when he comes? Because the scripture is very clear that the harvest is ripe. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages teaching in the synagogue, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. He was passionate. From day one, he proclaimed the kingdom of God is here. Even before him, John the Baptist said, the kingdom of God is here. And he came to say the kingdom of God is invading earth. And whenever someone is healed, someone is delivered, someone is set free, when the dead is raised, he said the kingdom of God is here. It's near. You could grab it. You could touch it. And he says he preached the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, healing every diseases and every affliction. Every affliction. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And here was Jesus. He said, I came here not to just do my own thing. I came here to preach the gospel of the kingdom. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring the good news, the gospel to the poor. And he said to his disciples, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Are you feeling what I'm feeling? The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly. Don't just pray, but pray earnestly, travailingly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field. To send out laborers into the harvest field. Jesus was focused in his mission. He knew what the Father has for him. He said, I'm here on earth not to do my own thing. That's why he told the disciples, Jesus told the disciples that my food is to do the will of him who sent me. The will of the Father who sent me. My food, my very existence, my food is to do God's will. You know, we all need to eat to live. But for Asian is we live to eat, don't we? Huh? Look at the Facebook posting of all the food. I'll be in Singapore on the 12th of July, and I can't wait. All the food I've been missing out for the last 2.5 years. But Jesus is saying, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work. The key thing about the second coming is, have you done the will of the Father? Have you accomplished your kingdom assignment given to us? Because there's so much preaching about the good life here. The blessing and the comfort and the favor of God here that some of us don't want to go to heaven because it's so good here. But it says, come on, you've got to accomplish the work that God has sent us. Don't say 4 more months. Yet 4 more months, then come the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see. The fields are white for harvest. Look, we got to look. We've been distracted. We could lift our eyes and really see. The word see is to... My wife liked to go to the art museum. For me, huge art museum. I go in there, 5 minutes, I'm out. I mean, I see people stand there and stare at the picture. Memorize, like they're in a whole world of themselves, you know. You see until you're consumed with what you are saying. That's the word. You see, you not just glance through. You look until you feel what you see. Sometimes I see my wife watching all those drama shows. She's crying. I say, you never cry for me. You cry for all these drama shows. Anyway, you see until you're consumed. Are we seeing like Jesus? Are we looking like Jesus the way he looked? He was moved with compassion. Are we having the same compassion that moved the heart of Jesus? Because it's so crucial. Because every time Jesus is moved with compassion, healing took place, deliverance took place, the sick were healed, the dead were raised. It drives in. And very clearly, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. This is one of the sure signs, not the mark of the beast, not the Antichrist, of the end times. When the good news of the kingdom, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached to all nations, then the end will come. You know, we have an assignment from God, and it's so very important that we fulfill and accomplish the assignment God has. And Jesus clearly says, as the Father sent me in John 20:20, I send you. The way the Father anointed me, I anoint you. The way the Father empower me, I empower you. All authority is given unto me, heaven and earth. Now I pass on to you. Go forth in my authority and make disciples of all nations. In fact, in Australia, the nations of the world are coming here. You don't have to cross the seven sea, just cross the road. And it says here, go into the world, make disciples, teaching them all the knowledge that I've commanded you? No. Teaching them to obey. The key thing is obey or observe, because you can know the truth and the truth have no power over you until you obey. First Adam disobeyed. Jesus, the last Adam, obeyed. Obedience is a key. Obedience to God's word is a key to unlock grace. Grace is given to you, but you can't receive grace unless you have faith. It is through grace by grace through faith. I always get confused with that. But you see, unless we access it by faith, unless we access it by believing, faith comes by hearing the word of God. That means, God, you say this, I hear it, I take a step of faith and I obey. And Christ-likeness is formed not by knowing, but by obedience. Because the knowing the truth is actually our application of truth. You apply it. And James clearly said, do not be hearer of the word. Because if you just hear the word and you don't obey and do the word, you deceive yourself. That is self-deception. And we know who the great deceiver is. You know, I know on a Sunday morning, these are hard messages. But we got to realign back. There's got to be a recalibration back now in this new normal. And for us who have walked with God for many years, through the different seasons of your life, in every new season that God sovereignly led you here and God sovereignly led you to this country, there's something that God wants to work in our lives. Every area of offense that you have is an area that God wants to deal with in your life, so that we will be able to rise up and walk with unoffendable faith. As a pastor for so many years, it breaks my heart that people shipwreck their faith and left the faith because they were offended. We got to have a faith that is so strong, that is an unoffendable faith. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Let me look at the time. Okay, still got some time more. I remember it was 1998, the massive economic crisis in Asia. There was riot in Indonesia, in Medan, in Jakarta. And we have to flee. We are missionary there. We have to flee to come home. And after a month, I packed my bag to go back into Indonesia. And I was in a taxi. And a taxi man started a conversation with me. And where are you going? I said, I'm going to Indonesia. Oh, you're going to Indonesia. Everybody is coming out of there and you're going in. Your business must be really big. I said, yes, we have offices in every nation of the world. It's called a church, you know. My father's business is huge. Oh, family business. So what do you do there, you know? Well, I said, look, actually, I'm a Bible school lecturer. I'm a missionary there. Oh, you're a missionary there. Oh, what did you teach? Old Testament or New Testament? Wow. For a moment, I said, this taxi driver knows his stuff. He knows the Bible, you know? And as the conversation got on, he says that he worked so hard. He was serving the church and he was offended. He was not affirmed. He was not acknowledged. He was offended in the church by the leadership. He says, I stopped going to church. And I say, why you stop going to church? Because of an imperfect person that offend you? Did God offended you? And I was able to minister to him. I said, look, if you find hard to get back to your church, move on to a new season in a new church, and have an unoffendable faith. And I believe in this end time, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, I believe there's going to be a gathering back home of the prodigals. Amen? People that have left and walked away from God, I want you to know, as you pray, as you seek the Lord, there's power in the prayer of a parent. God is going to draw back. There's going to be a rich harvest, the returning of the prodigals. And I said, get back to church. And he says, now I know why I fetch you to the airport. God is speaking to me. And as I reached the airport, I saw the meter. I took out my money. He looked at me. No, no, you don't have to pay the taxi fare. I said, no, 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 I have to pay you the taxi fare. This is your work. No, 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 you don't have to pay the taxi fare. You have blessed me already so much. So I got a free ride to the airport. You live by the gospel. So in conclusion, I want to challenge all of us. Whichever season God is leading you right now, don't look for a perfect church, a perfect environment. There's no such thing as a perfect environment or church or perfect church leadership team. Because if you do find one, don't go in because you become imperfect due to your imperfection. But whichever season God is leading you, God is saying, I want to form Christ in you. Form Christ in you. Identify the trigger, the patterns, and let the Lord do some real deep sanctification work in your life. And we got to proclaim. That's what Mission Sunday is all about. All of us, not just the missionaries and the professional people that work in the church, but all of us are called to preach the gospel of the kingdom. So we are entering into God's global kingdom agenda every year. We have a budget for missions or what we want to partner with. And these partners, they partner with many churches as well because we believe in a kingdom effort together. You know, it's very dangerous if your mission work is only supported by one church, because when the support stops, everything stops. So we want a multiple group of people with the same vision, the same passion as the Lord lead us. We partner together. We can do some, we cannot do a lot. You know, I used to be a mission pastor that handled a mission budget of $1 million. But, you know, we don't have the kind of money here. So whatever little that we have, we steward it. And as God lead us to partner with different ones, we do that. We used to partner with Cambodia for many years, but then the missionary went back to Malaysia, and that work, we kind of paused it because we felt that God lead us to partner with him. And so some of the work that we are partnering may not take place next year, but as the Lord leads us, we are very sensitive. In fact, at the end of the year, we often do a review, what we want to continue, what we want to change. So very quickly, for some of us, we are working with West Bengal in India, at the place called Asansol, about 5 hours off Calcutta. And this is a missionary, Oliver, Florin, Nathan, Zach, and George. George is his surname. Florin, Singaporean, and Olivia is from India. In fact, this 12th of July, when I go to Singapore, I'll be meeting with them. They'll be there as our partners to talk a little bit about the mission that is ahead. And also, they have 4 Christian schools. That's my wife there, preaching her heart out. 4 Christian schools, and 95% of the students are Hindu. So the mission, and they can preach the gospel there. So the mission field is wide. We had a youth camp in 2019, and we had 2,500 youth there. It was awesome. It was massive. That's a youth camp, you know. It was massive. And the ministry time, the altar call time, is longer than the preaching and the service itself. And people were set free, delivered, demon cast out, people were saved. It was awesome. So we partnered with them, and preaching evangelistic meeting. So, and then we also have work in the Philippines. And one of the very wonderful work is by Tom Curry in Tondo, Manila. It's a slum area, and you can see it's hard work. It's really hard. We're working in a slum, and we partner with him and together with many other partners as well in churches, because we know it's not just by one church alone. And he's doing a great job. He's risking his life in terms of health and security as well. There's a lot of killing, a lot of drugs. Issue of killing and all that. It's terrible. And then we also do Southern Philippines, which is in Mindanao, where the Abu Saya is. I told my wife, whenever I go to Sarangani, Southern Philippines, if they kidnap me, don't pay any cent for ransom. All right? And so Sarangani, we had a medical and evangelistic meeting, not to before pandemic. There was like almost 3,000 people there. It was awesome. 2019 December, I was able to be blessed to baptize a bunch of young people for a new church plant. And our cafe and all the breakfasts have gone to help them build a church, beautiful church. And then we have worked in Thailand with Sozo Life Ministry. Yeah. Thanks. So for Thailand, Sozo Life, I partner with them together, a lot of mentoring, you know, through Zoom, as well as visiting them. 2019, we had John Tan and family as well there. And also 1 year, Darren and Beverly was with me, and we are up in the interior between the border of Myanmar and Thailand doing a pastors' conference. And Sozo Life is doing a great job. It's not just the next gen, but it's really woman rescue from human trafficking and so forth, and trying to empower them to teach them how to fish, how to get social entrepreneurship in, and so forth. And of course, we have the Asia Tribal Ministry that have the famous, they call it the fire camp for all the next gen people. Many of the young people are into drugs addiction and human trafficking and all that is terrible. But God is doing work, and there's a major, major crisis right now between the border of Thailand and Myanmar as a military coup is killing and bombing a lot of villages. There's a cry. 6,000 have to flee a village just a week before Christmas. It was tough. And these are the women in the shelter that have their cell group. Then we have the work in Nepal. We partner through Pastor Stephen Teo and Pastor Jason. Jason is an Air Force captain, and then he became a missionary, went to the same Bible school I went in Tasmania, and he's doing a good job. He now looks like a Nepali and speak fluent Nepali. And so Pastor Stephen walking the streets in Nepal here. And again, the flood, the earthquakes, and the churches. In fact, Nepal is one of the fastest growing churches around the world. things are really happening. And many of the elderly that believe in Christ was ostracized, chased out of the home. So they have a Christian aged care home and shelter for many of those that have been abandoned. And of late, I've connected with Jessica Collins. Jessica Collins is a daughter of David Collins. Some of us know David Collins. And David Collins and I worked together for 1 or 2 years. And David Collins used to work for Jackie Pullinger in Hong Kong, working at a war city. Some of you read the book Chasing the Dragon. And David Collins married a Hong Kong girl. And David Collins preaches fluent in Cantonese. And that's the daughter, Jessica Collins. David Collins died at the age of 43. And I still remember I was in Myanmar for mission. I received a call that Pastor David had just passed away. And I cut short my trip, flew down back home to Melbourne so that I can be in a service to carry his coffin out of the church. And I've seen Jessica Collins grow as a teenager. We got her to our family camp the first 2 years of Click Church. And she's married with 2 kids now. The younger brother is married. No, Jordan is married. And Stephanie is still single. And Jessica Collins speaks fluent Cantonese as well. So she's currently running the online Bible college that the father has set up. Those early days, he was ahead of his time. But today, with mobile phone, smartphone, all over in India, Africa, there was an increased demand of online, which is free. Online Bible College is free. There are currently 60,000 enrollment. So the old website is almost crashing with all the new student IDs and so forth. And every month, roughly 300 enrollment a month. So they have to rechange the system that costs quite a fair bit of money. And of late, I've been talking to Jessica Collins, and she will bounce off things with me when she was in Bible school as well. So it's incredible online. In fact, you can sign up online Bible college. It's free. And their goal is creating a world where anyone, anywhere can have access to Christian education. So they have a school, actually a physical school in Myanmar with a few 500 active students. And I visited one of the on-site school many years ago at Chiang Mai. There was something like 200 students there. So these are the work that we have been supporting for missions. Sadly, we didn't quite get the full amount of money that we pledged last financial year. And Pastor Kenny was very kind to get the general fund to make up for whatever shortfall in our raising of missions. All right. So I believe it's time to pray earnestly, each one of us, and to give, really generously to proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And also action to do our bits. I mean, I remember pre-pandemic time, there were people that are so passionate for mission that I'll cook breakfast and it'll be $5 each. Well, maybe we can pack at breakfast here, I'm not sure, but people would just want to do whatever action it is, do something for the harvest. And do something for the harvest. It begins with your Jerusalem. I remember this guy, he has been in church for 35 years. And he was wonderfully filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time in his life, speaking in tongues. He said he couldn't believe it. He said it took me 35 years to experience this. And the moment he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he started to have compassion for the sister, the brother-in-law, the mom, the dad. He says, I hardly pray for their salvation. But once I was filled with the Spirit, I was crying and weeping and praying earnestly. And the testimony he gave was within 1 year, the sister got saved, the brother-in-law got saved, the uncle got saved, the brother got saved, you know, and the mom and dad got saved. And they're all standing up on stage praising God together. And we need action for the end time harvest. Now, how do we collect money for missions? All right, just to sidetrack a bit for the senior, you are not good at online giving. I know there's no offering box here, but just use an envelope, put your name and what offering it is, tithing or mission, and give it to one of the ushers, all right? They will bang in for you. Yeah, because I realized someone asked me about that. So, the Mission Faith Pledge, why we call Faith Pledge? Mission Faith Pledge means we're going to resource mission by faith. By faith. Not with your spare cash or leftover cash, but by faith. That means giving something that's sacrificial, something that's beyond what you could handle. And so Mission Faith Pledge basically is this, that we'll ask you to take a step of faith, all right? Take a step of faith to write down, and it will be not in a physical paper form. We want to save the tree, so it'll be a Google Drive form that we'll put to you later on, the QR code. To a step of faith by writing down, I will give $5 a month for mission. I'm going to skip one cup of coffee a month to give to mission. Or I will give $20, 4 cups of coffee a month for missions. You know, and by writing down, all right, on the form, it's a step of faith. Because action, faith without action, without it is dead. All right, so there must be the act. Okay, I write now. Maybe I've written down crazy figures that I know I can't fulfill myself. It's a faith, see? And so I exercise my faith, and many times miracles happen. No, and God will bring in the resources. Now, I start doing that at the age of 13 in 1973, if you want to calculate my age. And at the age of 13, I skipped recess time. But I wasn't wise because I was a growing lad, all right? And I need a lot of energy. And I was skipping recess time to give to missions. And one day I fainted in school, and they put me into the first aid room. But be wise, okay? So what I'm saying is, from age 13, I've learned how to give by faith. And as a result, I know when you sow, you will reap. There are times I'll meet people at the airport whom I've seen once in my life, vaguely in a church. I want to see you at the airport right now before you fly off. Who are you? You know, I don't even know them. Oh, yeah, I think I've seen you in the church that I preach in. And you come to me and give me an envelope. I got to go. My car is out there. And I open the envelope and 600 Australian cash. So I've experienced God's provision in miraculous ways. And so I want to challenge you to make a faith pledge. Now, this is the budget that we have. And the mission committee met, we talk about it, we pray over it. It's a total annual budget of $32,000. In December, there'll be an evaluation as well as to where we go from here. And this is the traditional old pledge form that we had, but we will do a QR code that will be sent through the family chat group. And I want you to, even a dollar a month, if that's only what you can afford, do it for mission. Let's come together. Now, I know some of us here, you say, Pastor Ken, I'm really supporting missions from my previous church, or I'm supporting this missionary whom I know, I grew up with, or this organization. Great. Don't stop. Keep supporting. All right? And I'm not asking you to stop. Keep supporting. But as a Click family, I also invite you to join together, put our hands together on the plow and do something together for missions. Amen? Do something together, big or small. I have a friend from South Australia, Adelaide, good guy, work a hard job, trying to feed a family of 6 kids. He said, Ken, I want to support mission. There's a will, there's a way. He said, I will spend 1 hour after work. I'll go through the parks in South Australia and every shopping center, and I'll collect bottles. I'll collect cans. Because in South Australia, you can trade in your bottles and your can for 5 cents and so forth, you know. And he said, I will collect as many bottles and cans as I can. And I will spend an hour after work, and I'm supporting a few missionary families through that. So you can do it. Maybe some of us say, oh, I would not eat out once a month, and whatever it costs goes to missions. Now, so these are the, what we are giving is not much, okay? But together with other partners, and sometimes we give to a specific need, okay? Like what we did is we give to a specific needs in Thailand to kind of resource each room for the woman's shelter. Not much, but we are quite focused in partnering with our missionaries. So these are the budget, which will be in your WhatsApp chat group. And I believe if you're not part of the WhatsApp chat group, it will be reflected somewhere in the website or the Facebook page. Now, if you don't have access to that, ask one of the leaders. We will definitely make it to you. Have a copy for you. So today I want to challenge all of us that this is about faith as much as it is about resourcing the kingdom of God. Because I truly believe that all that you need is in the kingdom of God. In fact, kingdom supply is an overflowing supply. That's why when you seek the kingdom first and his righteousness and his way of doing things, all right, and the right way of doing things, it kingdom, all these other things that you need will be added unto you because you are part of the kingdom. You migrate to Australia, but you didn't migrate to the kingdom of God. You were born into the kingdom of God. How? You were born again. No one entered the kingdom of God except you are born again into the family of God. You are the child of God. And as a result, you are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And you can have access to the resources in the kingdom of God by faith. Faith is believing God's word and obeying it, taking step of faith to obey it. And for me, handling the church to Pastor Kenny, at the age of 60, it's a faith step because the next 10 years, God said, I have a new season for you. All right? Separate your financial security with succession. So it's a faith step. Ask me, how am I supplying God? I don't know, but I know God will provide as I've experienced before. See, God's work done in God's way will have God's provision. Amen? But God called us. Each of us, if you've never grown in your faith, in fact, I was talking to some people and they say, you know, I have everything all planned, everything all, you know, organized, it's all within my control. Sometimes I feel that I don't really need to pray. But see, when you are out of your comfort zone, when you take risks, that's where faith kicks in. And life is too short not to take risks. It's time to believe God for more than yourself, more than your abilities, more than what you can control or manage, more and beyond. And God wants to resource us supernaturally. Just as when God says, buy the building. I say, how can I buy the building? I don't even have any money. And these are all students, retirees, single income. But see, when we take the step of faith, you know, I remember telling the pastor of the church, the Seventh-day Adventist church, we will buy the building. You know, it was with such confidence. When I went home, I was shaking, I was trembling, you know. Where on earth are you going to get the money? And I still remember when we offered the price, they won about $800,000 those days. Already 2008 is a lot of money, 2009. And we offer like almost 35 to 40% lower than the expected amount. And he looked at me, you know, and said, you're crazy. We're going to put it to auction. But we prayed. Say, God, if this is a step of faith you want us to take, you will open the supernatural provision. And I still remember the AGM. I mean, for the first time in my ministry experience, 100% in the AGM, say, we must buy the building. And I look at their face. Who are you looking at? Is it my faith or your faith? You know? And in the end, I still remember Po Chu, the late Po Chu, who just passed away, the oldest in the congregation, prayed, God, please give us this building. We need to meet at this building. And I was so moved, you know, out to tears. And I said to myself, if I were God hearing this prayer, I would say, yes. Yes. And after she prayed on Sunday, on Monday I received an email which I only opened on Thursday. They say, yeah, you got a building at the price you wanted. You see, we need to tap into supernatural provision. The only you can do that, the only way as sons and daughters to do that is you got to take a step of faith. Don't stay in your comfort zone. God is more interested in your character. Yeah, he's the God of all comfort, yes. But he wants to do character in you first. And it is when we dare to take risk. I was pastoring a big church. You know, part of a big church. I have my PA. I had to lead in those days. You know, I mean, I driving a nice car. It was so comfortable. And then a prophet came by, Dave Palmer. Some of you know him. He said, Ken, this is not it. God has something else for you. I rebuke him. I said, don't stir my nest, please. But then God stirred the nest, and I knew this is not it. I quit the job, about to come to Australia. Then a good friend met up with me and said, hey, I'd like to hand my church over to you. You know, it's a sizable mid-range church with a building and you get a free car as well. Would you take over the church? And I was saying, do I take over the church or come here and plant a church from square one? And it's faith. See, if God tells you to do something, that's where your faith is being exercised. Faith without works, without action is dead. Some of us live our life never exercising faith because everything is within our control. But I want to challenge you, at least have faith for God's work and get God's supply. Amen? So if you open up your smartphone in the WhatsApp chat group, if not, I'm not sure whether it's in the Facebook, yeah, Facebook page. And I want you to just right now, maybe the keyboardist can come and just play some music. I want you to just write down your name, your phone number. Now, we will not send the tax collector, the debt collector to your house, all right? In fact, we just keep it and we pray over it. No one will say, hey, you pledged this much, how come you never fulfill that pledge? No, it's between you and God. But by writing down, it's a step of faith to exercise the first step of faith. And we're going to pray together that God will enlarge your heart, enlarge your faith, enlarge your passion for the harvest, for the harvest. So I'm going to pray right now before we open up to Google Drive and start to fill in the figure. Is it a one-time figure or bi-yearly figure or monthly figure? Just write it down. And the budget will be sent to you for your prayer. Let's bow our heads right now. Father, I want to thank you for Click Church. Every single person attending this service under the sound of my voice is because you have divinely ordained them to be here. Lord, I know your spirit is speaking. You are challenging us. You are teaching us. You are convicting us. So God, I pray for their realignment, a recalibration, or in biblical terms, a repentance to come back to your way, your will, and your passion. Just as Jesus said, I will do the will of the Father. We will say, I will do the will of the Father, that none should perish, but all to come into repentance. So God, I pray for the enlargement of faith to believe, to believe, to believe, to resource the King. As you say, pray earnestly, Lord, to send laborers and resources that is needed for the extension. And Lord, to empower us where we are in our Jerusalem, Lord, to reach out to us. Lord, I want to thank you. I want to bless you. That every little thing we do for your kingdom is noticed by you. It's recorded by you. Even if we give a cup of water to the least of your brethren, we will have our rewards. And so, God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what we could imagine, through the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work within us. And Lord, even as we fill up the form right now, for those who are able to fill up the form on Google Drive, Google form, Lord, I pray for faith to be enlarged in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen and amen. Would you do that right now, very quickly, for the next 5 minutes?